Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, I pray not only for these, but also for those who believe in me through their word, so that all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one, I and them, you and me, that they may be brought to perfection as one, that the world may know that you sent me, and that you love them even as you love me. Father, they are your gift to me. I wish that where I am, they also may be with me, that they may see my glory that you gave me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world also does not know you, but I know you, and they know that you sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will make it known, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. And so the wonderful gospel prayer. In this gospel, we encounter Jesus praying that God may be known in the oneness of all who believe. This unity is a reflection of the union of Father and Son, the very life of God that we start to see in the experience of our brothers and sisters. And as always, we look for a larger unity rather than a constricting uniformity. We call this the Holy Spirit, or the indwelling of the life of God in each soul that God has created. Very often, our prayer is a journey away from people and things, to that inner silence that we associate with God. And this is certainly praiseworthy. We need time away from the busyness of life and the hard decisions that we need to make. We need time apart to become reconciled with God. But this is only part of the picture, because God's love for all of life has been revealed first in creation itself and then in the life of Jesus. And we can see now and pray in a different way. We may gain a more outgoing orientation from the unity that Jesus celebrates in today's gospel prayer. Father, they are your gift to me. Jesus says, speaking about us. What a surprising turn of events. Dwelling on this opens up a whole new world of prayer for us. Do you ever think of yourself as a gift rather than a problem? Well, we're challenged to do so today. As a youngster born in California, I was late in learning how to swim. I was 12 years old when I first swam across the chilling waters of the Tuolumne River up in the Sierras. Being a little older, I can still remember my gasping and panicky strokes trying to keep my head above water and reach the other bank. But shortly after that, I learned to relax with the confidence that I would not really sink. In fact, I was able to even rest in the water. And ever since, it's been a most friendly environment for me. Frenzied, panic-stricken strokes were set aside, and I would open my eyes and glide into the depths of the river and see the sun reflected on the rocks, opening up a whole new world of beauty. Now the water remains one of my favorite places. Well, prayer is like that. We can just stay on the surface and carefully say all the right words and observe acceptable gestures, or we can open up to the unity of the Father's love for the Son that is evident in all of creation. I work with young brothers preparing for priesthood here at St. Albert's, and every so often a young man joins us to look at our way of life. If he's rigid and very proper with his hands, just so, I'm reminded of my days of learning to swim. And I want to say to him, relax. Let the prayer come to you, come from within you, and discover the Spirit of God even in your own soul. We find it so hard to rise up to God's greatest gifts, and they are meant for us. As we listen again to Jesus' prayer of unity, we can relax and let that fuller realization of the Father's love for the Son find its expression even in us. Jesus is making the Father known in the oneness of all who believe in him. If we try too hard, we'll aim too low and miss our sharing in the very unity of the Father's love for the Son. God's magnanimous self-giving is at the very center of all of life. Our full realization comes when we allow that delight in life that the Father finds in the Son to pour itself into the center of our own existence. This is not something we could control or create by any effort. It's simply there in the center of things, rising up into a perfect expression of the Father's love for the Son. Jesus is celebrating the Father's delight in all that he has made. This is pretty elevated talk. The glory given to Jesus is found even in us, and we're swept up into the joyful cycle of love that is God's very life. No wonder our prayerful reflection on this mystery is such a peaceful and often wordless experience. We could never control or merit the glory that God would have us share in, and yet it's there at all times. In these days when central church leadership is at question and terrible sexual failures of a few, and a fearful, even cowardly lack of transparency is evident, it often bedevils people who make church work their profession. It's very important that even we ground ourselves ever more in the central blessings of our experience of Jesus. Church leaders will come and go, quite understandably, and may have less than excellent record. So great a task, especially when they don't listen to ordinary people or assume grand postures. Simplicity is really required. But we cannot at any time settle for less than Christ's love for us in the actual circumstances in our lives. The habit of reflection that we're talking about is sometimes called contemplative prayer, and this establishes us in the full wonder of God's loving call. That all may be one. You are God's gift to Jesus, his Son. Confidently rest in that promise.